God bless you. Welcome to Heart of Worship Podcast, Episode 8. God bless you for watching, to being part of whatever God has been doing with us here at Heart of Worship. Mm-hmm. I just want to say this before we go further. This is just a part of the ministry. I pastor a church here in Houston, Texas, if you don't know us. And the people here with me are servants in the ministry. To my right, I got Brother Doogie.
God bless you guys.
To my left, filling in for Angelo, Andrew.
God bless you guys.
And all the way to my left, my brother Kolya.
Amen. God bless you guys.
So, again, random topics, but I think it's probably the ones that we want to know or we talk about, or if I can say this, maybe misunderstood.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
I think at the highlight, when we talk about spiritual warfare, I think you said it earlier the best. Automatically, we think about rebuking the devil when we talk about spiritual warfare.
For sure.
Yeah. And the essence of it, what is it? What is spiritual warfare? What does the Bible speak about it, most importantly? And how can we at least enter into this idea the correct way? I have to say this. I think I was introduced to spiritual warfare in a very extreme way from the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you start to realize that there needs to be a balance in this, especially when you read and interpret the scripture. So I know you were supposed to ask me this at one point, but I'm going to ask you. What is spiritual warfare, Doogie?
Just to get right to it, I mean, we'll use scripture, Ephesians 6:12. Mm-hmm. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, and against the powers of the dark world, and against spiritual forces of the evil and the heavenly realms. Amen?
Amen.
I think a lot of the time, like the pastor said, we think spiritual warfare and we think demons and monsters and jungarimos jalpas on the hood, or you're going to physically see something. And yeah, hey, that might be a part of it. It depends where you're at, right?
Yeah.
Sure. What is it? Temptation. What else is it? It's falling into sin.
Yeah.
It's going against the will that God has for our life. Separation. That's what the Bible says, that the enemy is prowling around like a lion to seek and destroy.
Yes.
And, you know, whether it's to destroy your walk with God, your relationship with the church building, to stop you from doing anything, that's spiritual warfare. Amen?
Amen. Amen. Absolutely. And you said it. So it's prevention. It's if I can say this, it's, let's speak the truth.
Mm.
We were all in darkness.
Yeah.
Yes.
So you start to realize that I believe the on the simple side, and again, we don't want to make this a Bible study. We want to make it more practical, because there is study for this. There is contextual approach towards it. There is a theology behind this, if I can say that. And again, the extreme side of it could be everything's the devil.
Yeah.
But then I love the fact that as I read this, and that was your reference scripture, Doogie, is, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So let's make it clear. We have ultimately one enemy, and it is the devil.
Yes.
Yep.
But at times, maybe I feel, Kolya, I feel we're fighting against people sometimes.
Mm.
And we look at it, and I'm sorry, I think maybe at one point or another, I probably heard this a million times. That person's the devil.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
And then, okay, but on the other side of it, does the enemy use people? Now, even though directly, and when we talk about spiritual warfare, there are things that the enemy does to us. But at the same time, I believe that spiritual warfare could be people that are influenced and do fight against other people.
Amazing.
Now, as believers, when someone's under that influence, does it give us the leverage to say to rebuke that person? And that's what I want to refine.
Yeah.
Because look what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, it says, we shall no longer be children and tossed and foe and carried about every wind of doctrine and by the trickery of men and by the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting. So obviously, I don't believe Paul is contradicting himself, because this is within the same book We just read chapter 6, verse 12. This is chapter 4, verse 14. Believe me, we can say this in an hour, but I don't want to bore you. But the idea here is that we do fight against people, Kolya. There is a sense of the enemy will use people.
Yes.
Yes.
And unfortunately, he will use people that are in the flesh. Because, oh, Christian, oh, born-again believer, not to say that you're not going to be tempted by things, but you are going to face some stuff that are different to someone that doesn't know God. Someone that is in the sinful, full manifestation nature of what we were prior to Jesus Christ coming into our hearts and being Lord, let's speak the truth. That person is going to be carried about a lot more easier than someone that just being tempted and is trying his best to pick up his cross and deny himself. I believe there's a huge difference, and I want to do point that out, because in our battle, and I'm going to be quiet after this, I promise. The Bible says that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood, but he uses the word wrestle, meaning if it's not against flesh and blood, that means against the enemy. Now, I love the fact when I look at this in Greek, it's the word paleia.
Yeah.
It's a style of wrestling that requires two people to go in a ring and to fight to their death. And how the wrestle was that if you were going in the ring, I know it's going to sound a little crazy, but what they would do is they would put oil on themselves. So the other opponent wouldn't have a grip on him. And this is actual Greek history.
Yes.
And moreover, the way how he would challenge to win the other opponent, and it's going to sound a little gruesome. I don't know how TikTok or Instagram is going to take this, but what they would do, the objective was that they fought with their two thumbs to gouge out their eyes.
Amazing.
And the one that would have his eyes gouged out would stay in the ring and lose, and the other one would be the victor. So how can I reflect that in a spiritual concept? Is that the enemy wants to wrestle you to remove vision from you.
Amazing.
Wow.
That's his objective. Because just imagine this. If there's no vision, there's no desire, there's no goal, there's no purpose, then what happens, you are going to be so vulnerable, because the moment something else gets in your path, you're going to go for it. But when you find that Christ is the greatest prize and nothing else really is more important by a spiritual understanding, by the grace of God, then your wrestle is going to be a lot more effective, because you're going to recognize who's your treasure, who's your prize, who's your goal. And by that, and I pray for all of us that we run our race with a vision and a desire. Catch 22. The enemy wants to remove vision from you so that you don't pursue a goal.
Amazing.
That.
Wow. Very good. Amen. Very good. And what's his tactic, his main goal?
Come on.
Is, Doogie, we have a goal. And Amari's goal is to expand the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And his goal is to try to stop that. Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. And this is the main thing, Pastor, is that we have to recognize that we have an enemy.
Mm-hmm. What the?
And it says here to be sober-minded. And I believe that trubulti avel, we need a renewing of the mind. We need to be filled with God's word in order to withstand, in order to defeat spiritual warfare.
Yeah.
And a lot of people ask, Pastor, how could I put it? We know that we can defeat spiritual warfare, Doogie, without putting on the full armor of God.
Amen.
So I know I had this question one time. And Andrew, how can we put on the spiritual armor in order to defeat warfare?
Amen. If you read the whole book of Ephesians, and throughout it, Paul emphasizes chapter by chapter. One is spiritual wisdom, redemption in Christ. Chapter two is we are saved by grace through faith, dead to our trespasses and sins. Mm-hmm. We was bought by his blood, a price was paid. He is our cornerstone. Chapter four is walk in unity, spiritual gifts, the new man, the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's living the Christian walk, the lifestyle that God wants us to live. I believe, Pastor, that helps us maintain the armor, the sword, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. All these things we are given by Christ, given to us when we believe in him as our Lord and Savior. And when that happens, that change happens in us. That's how we continue to put it on. That's how we continue to wrestle against spiritual warfare.
Amen. Right.
Because the only way we could wrestle against it is by what he gives us and what he equips us with. Look, I'll be honest. Anytime we ever talk about spiritual warfare, we study spiritual warfare in the church, crazy things happen. I remember when we did the Armor of God study, there was so much hindered. So many things came against us in church, guys.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, we got through it. So I do want to say this. Like Golia said, it's not peaches and cream. It's not cupcakes and rainbows. Mm-hmm. When you come to Christ, when you want to follow him, when you want to make a commitment, you become an enemy of the world. You place a marker on you, and it's okay. Listen, it's okay. Jesus never said it's going to be prosperity. You're going to suffer. You're going to go through trials. You're going to go through tribulation. Things are going to come against you. But it's in 1 John chapter 5, 4-5. For everyone born of God is victorious and overcomes the world. And this is the victory that he has overcame the world and he had conquered it all. Who is victorious and overcomes the world is the one who believes and recognizes the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I'm going to talk about my life for a second. Boy. And I know I'm talking a long time. Growing up in church, I got the impression that a servant is blessed. A servant has everything. A servant is always, everything's great. Everything is beautiful. And when I came to a point where I want to serve God and I want to follow Jesus, so many things came against me. So much. Trials, tribulation, problems, financial issues. But the joy that I get from serving him, the peace that I get from serving
Amen.
Him,
Amen.
Surpasses all of that. And it says, Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of faith, who the joy is set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. He sat down at the right hand of God. And he tells us also to pick up our cross, to endure what comes our way. The same thing that he endured. He endured everything that he went through. He's telling us, hey, you're going to go through a lot. There's going to be things that come against you. There's going to be things that fight against you. There's spiritual warfare. Endure it. Because the joy that's set before you, the things that you will do for me in this world, and the eternal glory that waits for you, when you do make it, when I do come back for you, when I do take you, it's worth it. It's more worth it than anything in this world. It's priceless. That's everything that we talked about so far. That's what's
beautiful,
in my heart.
Andrew. Just to add to that, I got a few things, but first thing I want to mention, so there's this book, small little pocketbook, Pastor, that I probably bought about a year ago. And it's a small author, Christian Gageot. And there's a quote in this book, Andrew, talking about the financials, things being easy. So the quote that this guy showed in this book was, people who think wrong, act wrong, and people who act wrong, believe wrong, Korea.
Sure.
Believe wrong in what? So let's go to prosperity gospel. Why? That's what we're trained to come to God. Everything's going to be fine. This and that. So when we face these situations, we start to think wrong about the attack, start to act out wrong in this attack, and start believing, hey, maybe it's not meant for me to be blessed, or hey, maybe this is where I'm meant to be, and I'm never going to prosper, right? Mm-hmm. And when I heard this quote, it made me reevaluate so much in my life, and I thank God for that moment of listening to that, because I got to look back into my word, got to read and ask God, God, where am I wrong? Where do I need to be corrected? And I realized I was picking and choosing in something in the Word of God. I was picking things that I wanted to hear but not apply to my life. I was reading things that made me feel good, Pastor, and not applying it. And why did I bring this up? The armor of God, the shield of faith. And when you read Ephesians, it says to take up the whole armor of God, to take up the shield, Korea, take up the belt, take up the helmet of salvation. And I believe when we go through these issues, sometimes we lack in certain areas of taking up the shield when the fiery darts come, putting on the belt of truth and trusting in God and the word that he has in store for us. Amen?
Amen.
Absolutely. I feel, too, at the same time, Doogie, it's the approach of this chapter depending, I'm going to say as it is, depending the denomination.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Depending your platform of teaching, either you take this for what it is. I have seen people take it very lightly. And then at the same time, like I opened up in the beginning, then I see people take it real extreme. I want to allow God to give us balance into this, because there is a helmet of salvation. There is a breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, a sword of the spirit, a shield of faith, prepare your feet with the gospel of peace. These are all the things that we find that all of them have a spiritual application.
Yes.
Amen.
Now, because we don't want to make this a study, but I believe the one that highlights for me the most is when I look at the shield of faith. In that time, they use a very similar sword like the one that's behind us, shield. And the sword might be, I don't know if you guys can see it, the sword is not necessarily a huge long sword, but it was more like of a dagger. But the point is that they would call this shield a, they would call it a Megan, because it looked like a door, and that's what the word means, Megan, means door. And it wasn't just made out of wood, it was wood from the foundation. It was overlaid with canvas and leather. They had these materials over it. Now, the interesting part about it, this is just in Greek and Roman history. What they would do before they would go onto the battlefield, they would quench the whole shield in water.
Mm.
And then after, they would put oil on the outer part to preserve the water in there. Now, of course, we don't read this in the Bible text, but we know this by Greek and Roman history. And the Bible says, take up the shield of faith so that you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy.
Amazing. Mm. So it was preparation in the shield.
There was. Mm-hmm. So tell me that we don't need preparation in our faith. Now, even though that I believe God does give it to us, the Bible says in Romans that he distributes the measure of faith to all of us so that no one should think themselves any greater than anyone else, but all of us have been distributed the measure of faith. Now, for me, it's important to understand that how we are walking in our faith. How we are allowing our faith to be saturated in the Word of God. Now, there is an indication that the water might represent the Holy Spirit and the oil, the anointing. But because I want to read it from Paul's perspective, he does connect the washing of the Word of God when it comes to a husband washing his wife through Scripture as the Word being water. Because the sanctification process makes sense in that text. Now, we're only going a few chapters later, the last chapter, and I believe that it connects to the Word of God being water. I believe that.
Amen.
And I believe the anointing is the oil, which alludes to the Holy Spirit. I believe that.
Amen.
So our preservation of our faith has to be through the maintenance of the Word of God in a relationship with God.
Amen.
Now, we choose not to, and this goes for all of us, if you choose to say, well, I'm a believer and I received Christ 15, 10 years ago, and don't believe that you need to pursue the things of God, what's going to happen to you, believer, is that your faith will run dry.
Mm.
And when you get attacked by fiery darts, your shield will catch on fire. And before we know it,
amazing,
we abandon our faith. And we are so vulnerable to so many other things when we abandon the very thing that we started with. I believe that that's at the highlight. Sure, does the sword of the Spirit represent the double-edged sword? Does the belt of truth talk about the word resting in truth? Does the helmet imply that we should not allow to hear the lies of the enemy? Does the breastplate of righteousness imply that it's not our righteousness? It is God's righteousness.
Amen.
It is to prepare our feet with the gospel of peace, because that is the point. A soldier would have these shoes that had these studs in the bottom of it, yeah, and it would grip on the territory in which they walked. But not only that, they will set a marker,
yes,
an actual marker wherever they walked. And you can walk today in a Grecian territory that was in the time that Paul wrote this. And you look at the limestone streets that still have the small dints of the Roman soldiers' amazing shoes where they walked. So the gospel becomes something that we carry.
Amen.
And it's the weight of God's glory. And then when we preach the word, so we're talking about spiritual warfare, maybe it's not about casting out the devil. How about maybe preaching a word under the anointing to someone that is lost?
Yes.
Because people are blind.
Very good.
So look what the Bible says in Acts. This blew me away, Kolya. Listen to this. Acts chapter, chapter 26. Now, this is God speaking and sending out Paul, because he's out to be sent to God's people. Verse 17, I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, who I'm sending you to open their eyes in order to turn from them, from the darkness and into the light. So when you preach the gospel, if people, let's speak about ourselves. We were in darkness until the gospel came.
Amen.
So now that you're in the light, then go deliver the gospel that has the power unto salvation and to release people from the grip and the trickery and the craftiness of the enemy so that our eyes may be open.
Amen.
Now, we can take a mild approach to this, and I'm getting back to the same thing I mentioned a few minutes ago. All of us here, including you, you can take a mellow Western culture approach to this and say, yes, Pastor, I know, but, you know, maybe it's not for me what you're saying. Or simply, we take a safe approach. Hey, brother, you want to come to church? Hey, sister, you want to come to church on Sunday? And then what happens? The gospel, because of church maybe, the building has become an invitation only, and we don't speak the gospel. We don't preach the gospel. We just invite people to church and let someone else do it. The reality is that all of us carry the weight.
Amen.
All of us carry the glory.
Very good.
All of us need to preach the gospel. And if you're talking about expanding the kingdom, this goes for, listen, I get to speak as a pastor from this church, and I would say expanding the kingdom doesn't mean expanding heart of worship.
Yeah.
Expanding the kingdom means preaching the gospel to whoever it is that they may receive God's word, and wherever they go after, it doesn't matter. You did your job by preaching the very thing that was done to you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I want to go back on a subject real quick, Pastor. I'm going to read a scripture, then I want your input on it. So James 4:7 tells us this: therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. So a lot of the time when temptation comes, issues come, problems, spiritual warfare, right? What's the Romano mentality? And there's nothing wrong with it, but it's to pray against it, to rebuke it, the desan di shiba against this issue. What James is telling us here, and when those issues come, not to mix up what I'm saying, that also temptations come along with it, right?
Yes. Mm.
So what does it mean, Pastor, to resist the devil?
So I believe in itself, there's a few scriptures that I could draw from, at least to answer the short answer. So first of all, I think the biggest issue we have is understanding temptation.
Yeah.
Because temptation sometimes is painted in a picture to us that the devil comes in a pitchfork with horns and automatically you see the enemy coming. Well, that's temptation because it's straight off on the devil. And sometimes we fall short of this because we lack to understand the trickery and the craftiness of the enemy that he might use the very desires that you have as bait to draw you away and to drag you away into sin just by knowing what you like. And I'm talking about the sinful nature. That even this can happen as believers. James writes this to the church in Jerusalem as he becomes the patriarch, the spiritual father, the pastor to the main church in Jerusalem. And he writes this: blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life in which the Lord has promised to those that love him.
Amen.
And let no one say that when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when we are drawn away by our own desires and enticed. And then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin. Mm. And when sin is fully grown, it brings forth death. And I believe spiritual.
Amazing.
Death. So, and as I look at the text, there's no differentiation between temptation and testing. I just want to say that. Because there is no Greek word to separate temptation and testing. In English, we tend to translate the word either temptation or testing. But because he wants us to understand that this is not the sense of God doesn't bring temptation. But let no one say that he is tempted, and I have been tempted by God, for God cannot tempt anyone, or no evil in him, or does he tempt anyone. But I love the fact that I can connect this with the Garden of Gethsemane and Matthew chapter 26, where it says, could you pray with me 1 hour?
Amen.
The flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. Pray with me 1 hour that you may not fall into temptation. I might have shared this on the podcast before, but because it's desiring the answer, and I'm going to say it, temptation is not necessarily the worst thing that can happen to you, Because really, temptation is not just you being tempted to do wrong, but in Koine Greek, the word temptation is basically testing the virtue, or in that common time, it would be testing a vessel by putting pressure from the inside to find out if the vessel had weaknesses. Well, catch 22. The enemy uses that strategy after 2,000 years and it hasn't changed.
Yep.
It uses that temptation to bring pressure from the inside, whoever you are, so that you expose your weaknesses. And not because he knows your weaknesses, he uses it against you. And he James says that he puts it as an entice. The word entice, look it up, is actually the word to catch something with bait.
Wow.
Amazing.
So you catch it because the enemy, you just, I don't know if you ever faced this, but do you come when you're going through something and you just blabber your mouth and you start saying a whole bunch of things? Oh, business chalazman. Oh,
yeah, you're giving
oh,
him info. You're giving him
ammunition, deadlifts. Sometimes the best thing you can do, and I say this consistently, stay quiet and go to your prayer closet
Amazing.
And pray.
Yeah.
Because you're giving advantage to the enemy to know what's in your thoughts. The thoughts belong to you and you alone.
Amazing.
The Amen. Devil doesn't know your thoughts, but he can read the words that you say and especially the actions that we do. So it's important that through temptation, we find a solution. And I love the fact that Jesus says that very thing in the Garden of Gethsemane. It says when he came to the disciples and he found them sleeping, he said to Peter, "What? Could you have not watch with me 1 hour, watch and pray, lest that you enter into temptation? The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." He actually gives the solution. The solution, when you are facing temptation, get into your prayer
closet,
so good. That you don't fall into the temptation.
Amazing.
It doesn't mean that we're going to be Christians and we're not going to face things. Of course we are. Vikulokasi chasardoin faces things.
Amen.
But we as believers, we must understand. I would say this. When it comes to warfare, thinking that there is no warfare is about just the worstest place that you can be as a believer.
Yeah.
The greater weapon that the enemy ever uses against the church, that he doesn't attack the church, that he doesn't exist, and there's no fight every day. The fact is there is a fight every day. And as long as we think we're wrestling against flesh and blood, we're losing. Because ultimately, the enemy is the one that's behind it.
Amazing. Yeah. Amazing.
Amen.
Pastor, I'm going to say that Satan is a master strategist.
Yes.
Yes.
He's a master strategist.
Been around a long time.
He aims to do cavil o believer. He aims to peravel o believer. And some of the strategies I wanted to talk about of the enemy is discouragement.
Yes.
Anel discouragement pomanus. Temptation, we talked about it. Unforgiveness, fear, accusations, giving into our sinful desires, particularly in our weaknesses areas.
Yes.
Spiritual laziness. And you said something. Oduzmano, he studies us. I said, Motudentu, a lot of times I'm out of complaining, Dugi. Is actually giving him ammo for him to tempt us with it. And I believe there was a... we watched a fight, a boxing.
Yeah.
And this Gajishi was going towards her opponent, Demarupi. Mm-hmm. And she was facing somebody that was undefeated, that had the most champions. And she figured out a strategy. Maladalakiak.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it caused a little tear in her eye.
Oh, well.
Now, she wasn't a better fighter, but what she kept doing throughout the fight is keep punching that cut, because every time it would open up, Pastor.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
De la zrat and de la kiak, and she couldn't see. So she took advantage of her weakness.
Amazing.
And this is what the enemy does to us. We complain, Motaz, business is bad. I can't forgive this person. I'm angry with this person. I'm bitter towards this person.
So good.
And the enemy will come. How about if I tell you this, Pastor? If the enemy knows that you struggle with unforgiveness, he'll send people to you so you could have a hard time to forgive people.
Yes, absolutely.
And this is the way he works.
Yeah.
And we talked about it, about the temptation. And look what it says in, you said the key word, Pastor, prayer. How do we overcome temptation? Is by prayer. And look what it says in James 4:7. Fill your mind with the truth of God's word, and meet every temptation with prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
So, again, it's very important for us to know the strategies of the enemy. Very important for us to put on the full armor of God. Very important for us to be men of prayer, people of prayer, people kay Jesus. And let's face it, Pastor, we all have weaknesses.
We do. Yes, we do. We're human.
And being out of the Word of God, this is what I truly believe. Being out of the Word of God, Paul had a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I didn't put in my notes or anything. Paul had a weakness. He had a thorn in his flesh, and he asked God to take it away from him. And God said, my grace is sufficient for you. And what does Paul say after that? Paul says, I could do, in my weakness, he is strong.
Mm-hmm.
How that is?
Yes.
So by his grace that he gave us his word, by his grace that he allows us to come to his throne to Amen. Pray, Amen. To be in communication, by his strength, he is made strengthful in our weakness, Pastor.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Absolutely. Kolya, I want to add something, as you said about, giving a sense of ammunition to the enemy.
Yeah.
And again, this is just, I guess, just Greek history itself. You don't find it in Scripture, Andrew. Just we know that Roman soldiers, before they would put the armor, they put a red on the garment.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Denasikajul.
So even in the midst of warfare.
Very good, Pastor.
Now, this is for all of us, that we understand that we can hide in God.
Amen.
And not show our weaknesses.
Very good.
And I believe, imagine a soldier, if he had a white garment on and he's wounded on the field, the enemy would know
where to strike.
What you just said right now about the boxer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That the enemy would attack your weaknesses, but the fact that the garments were red.
Couldn't tell.
Couldn't tell if the soldier was wounded or not. And I think that is so good. Again, I look at Isaiah 40, 31, one of my favorites.
Yeah.
And it says, but he that waits upon the Lord shall renew his strength, and shall mount on wings like eagles, and they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. And I love this word, to wait upon. And I believe to wait upon sometimes is misunderstood. The word doesn't mean to just wait. But the Hebrew word is to be entwisted and entangled.
Mm. Amen.
So let's give it some context. But those who are entwisted and entangled in the Lord shall renew their strength.
Very good.
Amen.
Very good.
So I believe that it's important for us to be our journey, our life as believers, Doogie, Andrew, Kolya, is to be in the Word.
Amen.
Very
Most
good.
Importantly, to be always searching for his presence, always to be praying, because let's speak the truth. I am incapable.
Yes.
I don't have the strength.
No.
I am not smarter than the devil. I'm not going to as a matter of fact, I desire not to go in the ring with him.
That's right. Yeah.
Because he is stronger and he is faster than me physically. But spiritually, this is where I win.
Amen.
Because the Bible says that I wear the victor's crown already.
Amen, man.
I am a victor already in Christ Jesus. The last part of that I didn't read, and I'm going to go back to it because it blessed me extremely. It says in Acts, again, what Paul experiences, to go after the lost. And he says that not only does he go and preach God's word, but he says that he also wants to... when God sends him, is to release him from the powers of the enemy. How important it is for us to deliver God's word.
Amen.
If
Amen.
We don't have that idea that God's word has the power to bring unto salvation, we're going to be in trouble, because God's word is powerful. The rest of it, it says, verse 18, and to open the eyes in order for them to turn from darkness and into the light, and from the powers of Satan to God, and that they may receive forgiveness from their sins and inherit amongst those who are sanctified by faith in me, my God.
Amen.
So what are we? Engaging one part is to preach the gospel so that people are released from that darkness. And at the same time, for us, the enemy wants to bring us back into darkness.
Yes.
So it's important that we understand, as if I've been given the light, and it's in me, it's important to understand that if you ever thought about why you're attacked and what does the enemy waste so much time with you? Because he wants to drag you back in the place where you have been released from.
Amen.
Oh, wow.
Talking about all of this, the enemy wanted to bring us back and resisting the devil. It wasn't even in my notes, Korea. I got reminded of Matthew 4, Pastor.
Mm.
When the devil comes to, then Satan comes to tempt Jesus.
Yes.
And this scenario is painted here that the devil acts as Christ if you are. Mm-hmm. He's not making up anything. He's just he's trying to instill doubt into Christ's mind, right? And you see what Christ does there. I find it so beautiful, Korea, that he only quotes scripture.
Amen.
Yeah,
that's all he does. He fought back with the word of God and nothing else. He didn't use his own words, but he used his words. And it was three times he was tempted, and three times Christ fought back with the word of God that was written. And I find it so amazing because Satan literally took him to the high places of the mountains. He took him places. It was a battle. It wasn't just a thought or something. This is a physical, in action, real-time event that occurred.
Yep.
And the devil's bringing lies against him. But what is Christ doing? He's bringing the truth to him. And what does the devil do ultimately after the third time Christ recites the word? He leaves.
Amen.
Amen. I find that such an amazing. Whenever I go through something, I reflect on that and I try to find, the essence of it, the reason why I'm going through this. And why did Satan come to attack Christ? Because Christ was in there fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, preparing to start his ministry.
Amen.
I believe that Satan comes to attack and temptations and trials come our way when, there's another season of growth coming into our lives. I always said I count it for joy when I come under attack because I know there's something better in store for
absolutely.
Me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen.
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 Absolutely.
Pastor, I think it's safe to say that a lot of people will ask, how could I overcome spiritual warfare? And I believe it's what you just said, Doogie.
Amen.
The way Christ fought it, the way Christ conquered it, is through the word of God.
Amen.
And I don't think that we could defeat it, and I don't think that we
on
could...
On our own, no.
On our own.
No.
This is why it's so important, Pastor Devil, that we would stay in God's word, stay in God's presence, stay in prayer. It's very, very important.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful. I want to say this, I think, overall, because these questions, Kolya, Andrew, Doogie, they create a huge amount of opinion.
Yes, they do.
And now you're the audience. Now, we don't want to make this a Bible study, but we're reading out of scripture and we are trying to give you something practical.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even though there might be different opinions, we can go verse by verse if you want us to, but it's going to extend our time, and an hour is not sufficient just to even scratch the surface of the introduction
of
for
course,
the topic.
Yeah.
And I think I would say, the one that stands out for me, Kolya, is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh.
Very good.
For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God, of pulling down strongholds, casting down the imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself about against the knowledge of God, and bringing down to captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Very good. Good scripture, Pastor.
Just one of those things. The word here to bring down is again a Greek word that is used to bring someone with a spear from the inner dungeon, which is three walls, to go that to that person and with a spear take him out of that inner dungeon.
Hmm.
So he's saying that in the warfare of what we fight spiritually, it's that aggressive against us.
Yeah,
amazing.
And sometimes we take it too lightly. Why am I going through this? Why am I feeling depressed? Why am I feeling out of it? Because we're not engaging into what God has allowed us by his grace to fight with. And that is absolutely, the things in the spirit are much more mightier than the things in the physical.
Amen.
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 I believe
that. Amen.
Amen.
I believe we're quite a few minutes in already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, maybe part two, as the Lord leads. Again, we want your input. This is just a small introduction. Is there more to read upon this?
Absolutely. Oh, yes, for sure.
I think that all of us have much more to say, including myself. So at least for this episode, I pray that it blesses you. Mm-hmm. I pray that you help us to forward this. I just want to make this statement to whoever is listening on whatever platform. You are a blessing to us. When you hear this, you forward it to someone. When you comment something, we are blessed that we are interacting with you. Maybe you don't know us personally, and who knows? Maybe through this podcast, you get to know us a little more than the average person. And one thing I would say about all these men, including myself, what you see is what you get. Where there's nothing else to us other than to serve the Lord and to minister. Again, this is Heart of Worship, Houston. This is not the only thing we do. We do other stuff for the Lord. We serve the Lord, serve His people, teach His people, preach God's word. But this has been a blessing in our life that we can come into your home, to wherever you are, in your car, wherever you might be, to bring God's word to you. So again, I thank you for listening, being part of it. Keep on doing what you're doing. Forward this message. If it's blessed you, be a user and be blessing someone else with the word too. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
God bless you. Till next time.
Next time, guys. God bless.